From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 20th day of November 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt will also join us tomorrow during the Farm Assets Conference. You can still sign up for that right now to get yourself pre-registered until 3 o'clock this afternoon, that is, at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, and pay your $35. Otherwise, bring it with you, and walk-ins are welcome tomorrow. Also on hand for today and tomorrow will be Todd Hubbs. He's a commodity market specialist here on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. Today we'll talk about Chinese soybean imports from the United States. Tomorrow we'll talk about both corn and soybeans with him. And then on this program this afternoon, as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, and it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel is here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and he will join us for the soybean panel at the Farm Assets Conference tomorrow in right there, well, not very far from you, at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, just off the ISU campus. Looking forward to having you there.
Yeah, great to be invited. It's going to be a great program. You talk about walk-ins. We can almost walk there, Todd, so it'd be nice to...
Yeah, you're actually really, really close. It might be a pretty good walk, but you could do that, and looks like it's going to be a nice day too, so that wouldn't be bad. Folks that want to walk in and pay tomorrow morning, that's fine, but you can still do that online this afternoon through about 3 o'clock. We need to print out the names and get everything set up for registration tomorrow morning, so we'll close that off at 3 o'clock this afternoon. But if you want to walk in and pay, you can do that. Prefer that you just take some time now to register if you want, at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, 800-898-1065. What we find in the marketplace today of interest, corn or soybeans?
Well, the whole sector was a sort of a consolidation day. We had a great day Friday last week. We saw the market come up out of the hole for say and finish the day with strong gains. Technically, that was encouraging. We saw the indicators turn up in here, maybe suggesting some additional short carving or buying here on the technical scale. But last week's run-up has put us up to get some short-term resistance areas in through here, and we might consolidate a little bit more, waiting for the next bit of news to come into the marketplace. Last week's news, rumored Chinese corn buying, rumored Chinese ethanol purchases, much drier forecast from Argentina. As we came into today's trade, we saw a little bit better forecast for the Argentine crop, and so that kind of put beans on the defensive right away. The Argentine crop has been hanging in that 56, 57 million metric ton production level, and it's really not increased over the years. So if they would experience some growing concerns here during this La Nina type of weather pattern, then it could help shrink the world supply-demand balance sheet a little bit more. Corn-wise, harvest is wrapping up. Just a lack of really wanting to sell a whole lot more on the cash side of the ledger here as we move through the last 8-9% of harvest. This afternoon's harvest progress reports expect to show the nation about 91% complete. A lot of rolling. The funds have been huge shorts in the marketplace. We expect them to maybe start covering some of these positions as we move into year end. As far as the December contracts go, you saw December gained on the deferred. I think that's the funds maybe rolling some of these positions to the deferreds. December deliveries are next week, so if you're long some December futures, might want to keep an eye on that here and capture a little bit of strength here on the front end for a few days. Option expiration is on Friday. Not half, but we trade till 12 noon on Friday. So Friday could be a little volatile here as we see these options expire at Friday's close.
Yeah, just a quick note. The university is closed on Friday, and because of that, I'm just going to take the whole of the day off, and that means the staff at the radio station is not available as well. So no market update, although we'll have a closing market report for folks on Friday that they'll be able to listen to, and it'll either be the corn or the soybean, possibly both panels from the Farm Assets Conference, so they'll be able to pick that up then. And we will have on the home radio station at least programming on both Thanksgiving Day and on Friday. Though the markets are open Friday, we're going to take some time for ourselves and spend that with our family. We always do that each and every year. Hey, I wanted to take one other note with you, actually two. One, the cattle and feed report from Friday of last week, and why it was that wheat led things down in Chicago today. They were off 5 cents.
On the cattle and feed report, the numbers were just, you know, a little higher than expected. We're experiencing more numbers. You know, the placements was 110. They were looking for, you know, close to 108. Marketings were about 1% higher than expected, and overall numbers are just a shade 106 versus 105.7. Then plus two, we're seeing a situation where this weekend through here is just a slowdown in some demand. We had a vacuum in the cash market. We virtually went straight up. Then once that buying subsided, we just kind of collapsed on itself. I believe this February contract to find some support here near this 121 area here as we start to see this demand start to resurface as we get into next week. As far as the wheat, it continues to be Russia. You know, if you look at a supply-demand balance sheet on the world scale, particularly Russia continues to want to dominate the marketplace on wheat out of the Black Sea region. U.S. wheat's kind of been suffering. I mean, there's been times we've been price competitive, but to compete with Russia has been a tough one to deal with. And, you know, we just don't see the Egyptian business like we used to, and that Egyptian business has been going to Russia for say. Also, spread activity, when you look at the corn-wheat spread, you know, it continues to shrink in through here. It's starting to get to a point, though, that one of these days, Mike will probably get his way and have wheat start to gain in the whole complex, Todd.
All right, hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day, and we'll talk with you tomorrow at the Farm Assets Conference.
Very good. Looking forward to it, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the fifth round of talks to renegotiate NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, kicked off in Mexico City on Friday with little fanfare and with little hope, actually, for much news to be made over the coming days. Things are moving very slowly, they say. There's not a tremendous amount of progress, that according to one Canadian source. There remains hope that negotiators will ultimately be able to make progress in some areas before they leave Mexico City, in part so they can return home to their respective capitals and trade ministers with evidence that they're still moving forward and maintain momentum. Among the chapters that negotiators might be able to close by Tuesday, tomorrow, when the round ends, are food safety measures, and they may also be able to close out the anti-corruption chapter and a handful of annexes on technical areas like chemicals, pharmaceuticals, and food labeling. Separately, the Trump administration produced an updated list of its negotiating objectives for NAFTA 2.0, but the revamped goals showed few signs of a desire to tone down the U.S.'s contentious proposals. Well, industry leaders in Washington and several farmers have been pushing back against last week's reports by the Environmental Working Group. You can hear from the EWG directly on our website, by the way, that characterized commodity support payments and crop insurance indemnities as double dipping. That is, subsidies for the same crop loss or drop in market prices. Reed Pfeiffer, who raises turkeys and chickens and grows row crops in North Carolina, says that double dipping makes it sound as if the farmers receive crop insurance indemnities every year, which is not the case. Mary Kay Thatcher, the senior director of congressional relations at American Farm Bureau Federation, said the ARC and crop insurance cover two different types of risk. The former protects against revenue losses at the county level, while the latter is tailored to the individual operations. And finally today, we'll take up tax reform in Washington, D.C. Ag-related tax differences are among many the House and Senate will have to work out, provided the Senate follows the House in passing a tax reform bill. Both chambers' bills double the estate tax exemption. However, the House bill ends the tax in 10 years, while the Senate ends the exemption in 10 years, says American Farm Bureau's Pat Wolf.
The Senate bill provides an exclusion for 17% of business income, and the House bill sets up a system where income is divided into two categories. Farm income would either be a return on investment or return on labor, and depending on how the division is, the taxes will be different.
Wolf follows legislation for the AFBF. She also says the House legislation boosts the Section 179 small business expensing break to $5 million for just 5 years. The Senate break goes to $1 million for 10 years. She thinks the biggest challenge for the GOP will be complying with the budget limits that allow Republicans to pass their bill with no Democratic votes, thus the sunsetting of key tax breaks. And that's likely to be a sticking point with the House in working out a final bill. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs. He's a commodity market specialist here on the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. Has written this week for the Farm Doc Daily website, and you can see it there at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu about soybean exports for the current marketing year. Todd, why'd you take this topic up?
Well, we've been hearing a lot of information about expanding exports into China, and in general, the strengthening nature of importers across the world for soybeans. So I wanted to dig into the data a little bit and see what, you know, one, how many soybeans we're going to have throughout this marketing year between us and South America. And two, you know, based on some historical data about our market share in the U.S., what does it imply for the USDA projection of 2,250 million bushels of soybeans? Because over the last few years, there's been a tendency for the USDA to under-project ending stocks for soybeans in the marketing year, because we've seen exports be much stronger throughout the marketing year than they initially projected. And this year, I'm a little bit skeptical that that's going to happen again. I feel like that 2250 might be on in line or maybe even a little bit high based on the amount of soybeans we're seeing in the world and our traditional market share. So, you know, having said that, well, could we hit 2250 or exceed it? Sure, we could. You know, but when we start breaking down the supply and the demand situation for soybeans in the world, last year, so the current projection for soybean exports for this marketing year is just, what, 72 million bushels above last year. And I think sometimes people forget, coming into last year, South America had a crop shortfall. So we generated a lot of exports out of that scenario. That is not the case this year. With Brazil's huge yield number and large production number, when you take that into account, our large number of acreage and our 49.5, we have a large production number. And then when you include the fact that prospective plantings in South America is currently projected by the Foreign Ag Service show acreage of soybeans increasing 3%, driven mostly by Brazil's increase in soybean acreage because their corn price was so bad. So there's not as much first crop corn in Brazil this year. So what we're seeing is the lowered production estimate for South America is just strictly off yield. It's not off acreage. And currently, you know, they're saying Brazil's yield for 17-18 crop for them would be about 45.9, down from the 50.1 they did in 16-17. I think it's reasonable to say maybe they're returning to their trend yield, right, for 17-18. But look what we did last year. You know, could they do something similar? Sure. But when we think about the supply in the world, there's plenty of soybeans out there. Switching to the demand side, yes, we've seen China's numbers increase. I think it's about 3% over last year's the current FAS projection. There's been reports out there of 100 million metric tons, possibly just a huge amount of soybeans. And we've heard of strength in places like maybe Mexico or Japan and the EU. Those are our top, those are our major importers in some of Southeast Asia. But the place that's driving export demand in the world is China. We've traditionally, over the last few years, historically done about 38% of their imports. So when you start thinking about the numbers, if we do our traditional market share, or even if we gain some market share, when you include our other major importers in with it and what we normally do with them, you know, we're not quite at 2250, if you just take those numbers as is. Now, we could gain some more market share, which I think we might need to do to hit that number or exceed it this year. And we also need a lot of importers to increase their demand, which looks feasible. Like, that may happen this year. But even with the importers increasing their demand, we need to get more than our share, right, to hit these kind of numbers and to see ending stocks decrease like they have in some of the last few years. So basically the point of this paper was, yes, there's strong export demand for soybeans. Yes, we're going to export a lot of soybeans. But this year, the USDA's projection of 2250 and that ending stocks number of 425 look a lot more stable to me than maybe we've seen in the last few years. We would need an extremely high jump in crush, which I don't see occurring this year, or somehow do an unbelievable amount of soybean exports with the huge crops in South America to drive that number down. That's why I wrote it.
So producers, end users, traders will all be thinking, over the last 4 to 5 years, USDA's ending stocks number for soybeans, which this year is at 425 million, has come down a couple of hundred million bushel. With the exception of last year when it was a drought year, USDA just missed it. But last year they must have gotten a lot closer, other than there was a drought in South America. And
no, they missed it by quite a bit.
They missed it by
because of the drought.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
They missed it by the drought, and so that it wasn't that we just they missed the actual total world demand consumption.
Right.
It was just that the drought shoved the consumption that would have been out of South America if they had had the beans into the United States. And this year, you're saying, like last year, that number is probably a lot closer to being right than wrong, as long as there is not a problem in the Southern Hemisphere.
That's correct. That's how I see it. And, you know, to assume that we're going to have some kind of shortfall in South America is a pretty big assumption. So,
thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
That's Todd Hubbs, University of Illinois Commodity Markets Specialist. He will join us tomorrow at the Farm Assets Conference. I sure hope you've already signed up. If you've not, you have until 3 o'clock to do that online, although you can walk in tomorrow morning and pay if you want. Online, it's willag.org, farmassetsconference.com. You could still call 800-898-1065, really, if you'd like to as well. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois, to take up the weather forecast. Mark, let's start in South America this afternoon with Argentina. They have had some dry conditions.
Yes, Todd. Certainly the focus in the corn and soybean belt right now is in that dry, with the Argentina dryness. And in some places in the core of corn and soybean acreage in Argentina, the dryness has gone back 30, even some cases 45 to 60 days. It's not like all of Argentina has been on the dry side, but some of the driest acreage happens to be big producing acreage in northern BA, southern Cordoba, southern Entre Rios, and southern Santa Fe. Looking ahead, one of the new developments this week is that computer model guidance has started to show some opportunities for rain during the first few days of December. In fact, Models are showing a wave of low pressure moving in from the Pacific, crossing the Andes, and providing a setup for some a bit more widespread shower and thunderstorm activity, especially relative to the pattern of what they've seen lately. So that's going to be an important rain event here, and because they've been on the dry side from now through the end of the month, they're going to stay on the dry side, with actually temperatures beginning to heat up next week, with highs primarily into the low to mid 90s, maybe in a few upper 90s far up north. To get some relief and some improvement in soil moisture, you know, that puts a lot of emphasis on that projected rain event verifying there the first few days of December.
What do you think about that process? Does it look likely or not likely at this point?
Right now, I'd say that at least the setup is there. That's kind of a good starting point. Is about like half of the belt looks to receive significant amounts, which is more than any rain event that they've seen here in the past several weeks. But since it is over 10 days out, it's tough to put any real specifics on it, but most likely it'd be the northern and eastern acreage that would be favored as kind of an initial starting point at this lead time.
And at that point, they'd be 40 to 55 days without rainfall. It would need to be a fairly substantial event to begin to really change things around very much, I would think.
Yeah, and also part of this and part of the uncertainty with this rain event is where exactly do those storms fire up as the wave is coming across? If they develop across areas such as La Pampa and southern Buenos Aires, then those heavier rains would begin to move into the core driest acreage. If they develop or start developing right over the core of acreage, then actually the best totals will be just north of the main acreage. And so Argentina is always kind of a tricky place to forecast, considering you have big acreage, but in a small concentrated area. That is the focus here as we move in early December.
We have about 40 seconds. Things are better in Brazil?
Things are better in Brazil, and that's true from Rio Grande do Sul and Paraná in the south all the way north to Mato Grosso, even Tocantins, Bahia in the northeastern section of the belt. We've seen improvement in rainfall across what have been some of those driest areas in the northeast here in recent weeks, and more is on the way. In fact, all of the corn and soybean acreage within Brazil to near to even slightly above normal rainfall pattern through 2 weeks, continuing to improve the situation there.
Thanks so much, Mark. We appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon.